Well, this has already gone better than the last presentation because it's the right PowerPoint that I have up there. I'm going to be talking about using syndromic surveillance for Zika surveillance during a period of February through March of 2016. And if you're asking yourself why those dates, February, as we just saw from Kyle, is sort of when everything got crazy in Puerto Rico and in Brazil, and the link between microcephaly and Zika was becoming more firmly established. And then March corresponds with the deadline for the late breaker abstract at CSD. So anyway, the point of that is that we are continuing to do this surveillance, but most of the data shown will be to that point in March. In terms of the background, I don't want to spend too much time on this or the symptoms, but we'll spend a little bit of time because I know there are three Zika talks, I think, here in a row. Certainly Florida has the two vectors, Aedes aegypti, Aedes albopictus. We have had in Florida several other arboviral outbreaks which have been spread locally within recent years, dengue, chikungunya, and going back a few more years, even malaria. At the point in time of March 23rd, we had 73 Zika cases, all imported. I will emphasize that all our cases to this date, which number about 160 or so, have all been imported, so we do not have locally acquired Zika at this point. The governor declared a state of emergency on February 3rd, 2016. Highlighting a couple of things you may not know about Zika, the incubation period is a little less known than we might suspect at this point, but is likely between a few days and a week. And the duration of illness is typically 1 week. Death can occur, but it's extremely rare. We know how it's transmitted. The last bullet point says that you're likely immune after infection, so that's an important point as well. And you can see the geographic distribution of where it's become endemic. In terms of our syndromic surveillance system, it's a comprehensive system as far as emergency departments. We have nearly all but eight of our hospitals are participating. We have 33 urgent care centers, which is a small fraction of the total number of urgent care centers, but we are looking to increase that. And then there are all sorts of daily alerts that are generated, including a visits of interest email that the county folks get, flagging certain types of visits and some of our Zika visits. We actually have five data sources in our syndromic system. If anyone is interested in the other data sources, we could talk about that afterward. The study period, again, is listed there. We created a number of queries that we ran against the syndromic database. So we created some that were Zika term specific that I'll show you in just a moment, and other queries that looked for the names of countries within a chief complaint or the word travel within a chief complaint. And both those queries have proved useful in finding visits that we wanted to follow up on. We also get some triage note data from our hospitals, but it's a small fraction of our 229 hospitals. It's roughly 25 of our hospitals send triage note. And we found that to be a valuable field in searching for Zika-related terms or countries of interest. In terms of the methods, we actually did something somewhat unique. We did it one time previously, but we issued guidance to the hospitals for a period of 60 days, which was then to be reevaluated, to ask a travel-related question and ask a pregnancy-related question, and when those were positive, actually add the country of travel or the word pregnancy to the chief complaint. And we'll look at that in a minute here. We also had a 1-800 number for Zika information, and these calls were routed through our Poison Information Center, our Poison Control Center, and we were able to look at those calls within our Essence system, as well as normal calls that would have come into the Poison Control Center that may relate to Zika. We developed follow-up procedures with our 67 counties, which is an extremely important part of it. Something that often gets overlooked is, okay, we see the hits in the data, but now what? And what's the procedure? And as you can imagine, we're doing a fair amount of this, so this was important. And then we produced daily and weekly reports. A quick look at the query that you see, the free text query, and you'll see a number of misspellings of Zika and a correct spelling and the word, a truncated word microcephaly or microcep, which will capture microcephaly and microcephalus, which are two words that come up in the electronic health records. What you won't see are symptoms there, and it gets very hard once you try and build a symptom-based query in terms of the amount of noise that's produced. This is actually a copy of the guidance. I don't know, it's it should be legible to some of you there, but we talked about sort of what that entailed. In terms of the results for this period in time, we had 37 flagged visits from our Zika query. We had 29, and that was the one I just showed you. Then we had 29 flagged visits from the travel query and 363 Zika-related calls that came through our Poison Information Center network. And this is probably the most important bullet point of this slide, is we had five, and that number's gone up to six now, cases that were cases of Zika, confirmed cases that were first identified using syndromic surveillance. And the public health action resulted in that, and that we were able to get mosquito control involved, and they could go look for Aedes aegypti on the locations of these cases. So it's a good example of public health action actually following from syndromic surveillance. I've got a time series here that's got a number of Zika visits on the primary y-axis, and then it's got the poison control calls on the right-hand y-axis. So the emergency departments are in dark blue, and the poison control are in tan there. It's a weak number on the x-axis there, and you can see a nice concordance between the spikes in those two. I also want to show you, I had mentioned that we issued this guidance to our emergency departments, and I want to show you what the data looked like in terms of these, the chief complaints mentioning a country of travel. So you can see the point at which, and these, on the y-axis, just to get you oriented, weak number again on the x-axis, y-axis you've got number of visits with foreign travel mentioned, and the chief complaint or discharge diagnosis, although it's invariably on the chief complaint side. You can see where the guidance was issued, and you can see the big spike in the number of countries mentioned or the word travel mentioned from our emergency department data. It's a little bit, this was actually caused by a couple hospitals really implementing this as opposed to sort of widespread implementation among our 229 hospitals. And interestingly enough, if you look for the word pregnancy and you look for that same sort of spike, we didn't see it. So it didn't look like there was a lot of compliance in terms of adding pregnancy to the chief complaints. So as far as the conclusions, I think there's a lot of value in using syndromic surveillance for active case finding when it comes to emerging pathogens like Zika. Having comprehensive near real-time data is really helpful, and you know, the faster you get the data, the better it is in general. Having the 67 county designated Essence users, or Essence users in all 67 counties, is a big benefit to us in Florida in terms of how we follow up on these. And I mentioned that, you know, this is a good example of public health action ensuing from the use of syndromic surveillance. And lastly, I will just say that the added terms that we've added, we haven't reissued the guidance at this point to do that again, and it's something that was a little bit different and a little bit novel, but something that if others have done or had success with, I'd be interested in hearing about. Thank you.